Let's look at verse 7. Psalms 57 and verse 7. David is writing here. The psalmist David said, and no doubt when he said it with joy. My heart is what?
Fixed.
My heart is fixed. He said it again. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the beginning of this chapter, I won't read it all. Down to where we just read, David was saying to God, Lord, there are calamities and troubles all around me, but my soul trusteth in thee. And I will take my refuge in the shadow of thy wings. Calamities everywhere, trouble all around us, we see it. Until these calamities pass over. God, my soul is among lions. How many will realize today that we are in a world of evil? Spiritual wickedness all around us. My soul is among lions, not literal ones, but among spiritual ones that would swallow me up. But I cry unto you who performeth all things for me. In other words, God, I will stay in your presence.
Amen.
And if I stay in your presence, and if I stay in your will, you will work everything out for me.
Amen.
How many know he'll fight our battles if we stay in his will and we serve him?
Yeah.
How many wants the presence of the Lord to walk in his spirit? Hallelujah. To love him, to walk with him. That's the safest place you'll ever be, is right in the center of God's will. It's the safest place. It's the sweetest place. It's the most joyful place that you could ever be, is in the will of God. You might have your troubles, you might have your trials, but when you know that the Lord is with you and on your side, you can make it. Hallelujah. He said, my soul is among the lions. He said, but you perform of all things for me, and you'll work it all out. And that's the reason he said, God, that is the reason that I can sing and I can say, praise you, Lord, my heart is fixed.
Amen.
Woo! My heart's fixed.
My heart is fixed.
We're going to go somewhere. Hallelujah. Can we all say today, oh God, fix me up inside.
Yeah.
Woo!
Fix me up inside. Fix me up inside, Jesus. Fix my heart, Lord. When my heart is fixed, I'll be able to sing, and I will really be able to praise you when my heart's right on the inside.
Woo!
Psalms 112 and 1. Listen to what David said. Now, these psalms were written to be sung. Can you imagine? Can you put tune and could you put some tune to every one of these psalms? I wonder how they sung them.
Yeah.
112 and 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. It's the whole desire is to serve God. I don't know about you, but my Bible is God's holy word. It is my delight. I love it. It's God's love letter to me. It's his roadmap to heaven. Hey, Lord, it's my food. Brother George, it's my water. It is my comfort. It is my strength and encouragement. It is my instruction to get me through this world and give me power over the world, the devil, and everything in this old world. And you say, my Bible is the roadmap to heaven. And it is eternal life. And it is power to overcome. How many knows that that word is a light unto our path? It's a light to our soul.
Yes.
Woo! Holy God.
Bless him, Lord.
He goes on, surely he that man that fears and serves the Lord, surely,
surely
he shall not be moved forever. The devil would like to move you.
Yeah.
I said the devil would like to push you back.
Right. Push it back.
The devil would like to get you down. But I tell you today that if you fear the Lord and you want to serve Him, He cannot move you away from God.
No.
The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance.
Yes.
You are continually in God's mind. God cares about you, everybody in this house.
Yes.
He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. You're always in His mind and in His thoughts. Verse 7 goes on and it says, He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, and His heart is established. God wants you rooted, and He wants you grounded, and He wants you anchored, and He wants you settled in Him. This person that serves the Lord don't have to be afraid, because his heart is fixed, and he's a servant of the Lord, and he fears the Lord, and he's a living by God's holy word. I tell you, I've already come too far, and I know what God's done for me. Hallelujah. And I trust in Him, and he's brought me through, and He's helped me when I've come to the paddles, and when I've been down, the devil tried to move me away and to get me down. But I tell you, he cannot move the righteous.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
You're right, brother. You.
This word, stay with me a while, is mentioned only 3 times in your Bible. And the psalmist David was the one that penned them, and it dealt with his very own heart and the heart of God's people.
Yeah.
It dealt with his inner feelings. He wanted his heart fixed.
Man.
Right.
A lot of people need their heart fixed.
Man.
I need fixed inside,
oh,
Lord.
Glory be to God. Amen.
Fix me.
Come on.
And I'll be able to sing. Fix me. And I'll really be able to praise you.
Glory to God.
Fix me, Lord. And I can really be able to serve you. It's in your heart. Listen, you know what the word fix means? It means to repair. Nobody's ever had something to break.
Amen. Come on.
To repair. To mend. To put back in good shape.
Yeah.
And proper order.
Thank
to
you.
Fix.
Thank you, Lord.
Means to restore something.
Thank you. Bless you.
That is broken. Putting it back together so it won't come apart anymore.
Yeah.
To make something whole.
Yeah.
To restore. What was it David said to the Lord? He said, against thee and thee only, Lord, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest.
That's
be
right.
Fair when thou judgest. He said, Lord, I've sinned against thee.
Mm-hmm.
He said, would you renew a right spirit in me? Would you uphold me with your free spirit?
Yes.
Would you restore unto me the joy of your salvation?
Yeah.
Lord, would you restore me?
Restore me.
Glory to God.
Jesus, restore my song.
Come
Jesus,
on.
Restore my praise. Lord, fix my heart on the inside again. Put me back together.
Amen.
Holy Lord. Proverbs 4:23. God said through Solomon, keep thy heart with all diligence. That means with all sincere, careful effort. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life.
Praise be to God.
Listen, did you know that the heart in Scripture is the symbol of your inner life?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Your inner life?
No.
In your heart is where you live. It is who you are.
That's right. Amen.
Your heart.
Bless him, Lord.
It's where you live. Your mind and your thought life can affect your heart on the inside.
Yes.
Your heart is full of feelings.
Right.
Every one of us in this building today have feelings.
Yes. Amen.
Feelings in the heart.
Glory.
You have your emotions. And only Jesus and the Holy Ghost can control them. God, down deep inside of my heart, I cried to take to fix me. Fix me, Lord, up inside. Hallelujah, Lord. Now listen, there are 50 different kinds of hearts recorded in our Bible, Brother Jason.
Yeah.
The scriptures that list the heart, tell them what kind of heart. I have scriptures for every one of them. With much study, I'm going to give you a few of them. Did you know that your heart can be broken?
Right.
It can be broken.
Come on. Yes.
Your heart inside can be troubled.
Right.
Your heart can be grieved over sorrow and letdowns.
Yes.
I'm talking about your heart. Your heart can be discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about your feelings down deep in your heart.
Yeah.
Your heart can be merry or it can be heavy.
That's right.
Yes.
Your heart can be sorrowful.
Sorrowful.
Or your heart can turn bitter.
That's right.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's right.
There's a lot of things that'll happen in life, and if you let them, they'll turn you bitter.
Amen. Yeah, they will.
They'll turn you bitter. I'm talking about feelings in the heart.
Amen.
You're right,
Jesus, fix my heart.
Fix it.
Yes.
Did you know that the Bible speaks of an honest and a good heart?
Yes.
Jesus did.
Yes.
In Luke 8:15, an honest and a good heart. Jesus said there is a pure heart. A pure heart. The Holy Ghost inspired the scriptures to be written that there is a despiteful heart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it anyway.
That's right. Do it anyway.
I don't care what anybody thinks or what they say. I got my mind made up and this is what I want.
Bless him, Lord.
Come on.
Come on,
brother. Ain't nothing about nobody else's business.
Right.
At spite.
That's right.
We can have a despiteful heart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, when God corrects us, we ought to say, Lord Jesus, I know that you chasten those that you love.
Right.
You know, there's something about chastening. Let me tell you something. I've been in it.
Come on, Brother Tommy.
You feel like you're a million miles away from God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Million miles.
When God chastens you, I would rather have my dad, if he was alive, to take his belt off like he did one time and whip me for 100 yards. He did it. He whipped me for 100 yards out the barn door, down the road to the main highway, the main road, and all the way up and down the driveway to the front porch. 100 yards he whipped me. I had whelps all over me because I did what he told me not to do. He said, don't you go down there. I was a young boy. Went down there and found the old man's .22 rifle, and I was shooting rats, and the other boys were running them out, and I was shooting, and they wasn't very far from his feet. Dad said, I told you, and I told you, and I told you. He pulled out his belt. He whipped me all the way up the road, down the driveway, across the front porch. I never did go back that guy. I never did. That was the last time for me. I had whips all over my back, my legs, my shoulders. But I'd rather have my dad to do that than to have God with me.
Yes.
There's something when God chastens you and tries to correct you. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. consciousness.
Right.
You see, when God wants to correct us, He's trying to make us better.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He shows us where we're going wrong, what we're doing wrong.
Amen.
Come on. And He'll correct us. You know how? He pulls His Spirit away.
Come on.
And you are the most miserable human being ever was. You reach for God. You say, what's wrong? You're pulled apart. You're on edge. Nothing feels good. There is no peace whatsoever. There's no joy in your life whatsoever. You're being corrected by God. The Holy Ghost will correct you.
Amen, brother.
Bible said that the Lord chasteneth every son whom He receiveth. That goes for daughters. I was whipped for weeks over something when I first got saved. Weeks. I said, and I knew I was saved. I knew He set me free. I knew what I had when I got up from the altar. I knew the joy. I knew the tears. But, oh, God. I remember I put my lunchbox down. I worked 12 to 8 and about 3:30 in the morning to 4 o'clock in the morning was our lunch hour. Dark. They boys would go in there. I never would. After I got saved, I wouldn't go in the break room to eat with them. Their mouths were filthy. I didn't want around the world. Come on. But I would leave that lunchbox, Brother Jason, right there on that saw table where I was working that saw. I wouldn't even open it up. My food. I didn't even want to eat. I couldn't eat.
Yeah.
And I remember I just left it closed and I went outside that department, the extrusion department, and I would walk completely around that and I would look up into the sky, look into the stars. I'd say, God, where are you at?
Where are you at?
God, I'm sorry. Lord, I'll do better. I'd walk laps and laps around the extrusion department saying, God, I want to feel you again. I want to know that I'm saved. Where are you at, Lord?
Where are you at, Lord?
Oh, Lord, but this went on for a few weeks. I'm telling you, when God corrects you, He'll make you miserable. And there's just something about the preacher said, God has got His way of making you willing to be willing. Raise your little hand and praise Him. Woo! Hey, Lord, unto you it ain't fun when God corrects you and puts you down in a low place and it feels like you're grasping for straws and you need help and you don't feel liberty and you don't feel the victory and the song ain't there and the joy ain't there and you cry out to God. I'm telling you that God's got a way of getting you to pray, of getting you to correct your way before Him. He's got His way of drawing you closer to Him. He wants you to be a partaker of His divine holiness and His nature. He wants you to live in righteousness.
Yes.
And I remember a water net, a water net, a water net, and I was miserable. You've been there too. Went to church one night and they was up singing and I was sitting back and I stood and the tears started coming again. I couldn't even cry. You ever been in a place you just wished if you could cry? Just cried out? Oh, Lord. And I went to the altar, Brother Jason. I was the only one. I went to the altar and I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I love you. I love you. His Spirit returned. His anointing returned. His presence returned. And I've been telling you, I never went back and done anything like that again because the joy came back. I'm telling you, God's got a way of drawing you and correcting you and to make you do better.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Don't ever do anything despite the Spirit of grace.
That's right.
Don't never grieve the Holy Spirit.
You're right, brother.
Whereby that you've been sealed until the day of redemption.
Yes.
Grieve not the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Did you know our actions sometimes and our feelings within our heart will get us away from the Spirit of God? Hey, Lord, oh Lord, I'm telling you, our actions and our attitudes and the things that are in our heart can rob us of the joy of the Lord. Like I said when I started a while ago, I'd rather be in God's will. I said I would rather be in God's favor. I want God's touch upon me. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve Him. Hey, Lord, if the Lord corrects you, say, Lord, I'll lay it aside. Lord, I will quit doing that. I will quit talking that away. I will sanctify my eyes and my ears and what I allow myself to do. I want closer to the Lord. I've been praying recently, brother. Hallelujah, Kevin. I said, Lord, I want to go higher. I want to go higher, Lord. Take me deeper and draw me closer, Lord, I pray. You shall not be moved, is what David said. He said, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. It's back. I said, I came back to the Lord, and I got where He wanted me to get. Hey, raise your little hand and praise Him.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Finally, there's a hard heart.
Hard heart.
Did you know that every time you rebel against God or you say no to God and God tries to correct you and tells you what you need to do or stop doing, did you know that every time you say no and you pull back from it, did you know that every time your heart will get a little bit harder?
Right.
Come on.
Right.
It'll get a little bit harder.
Right.
The conviction, listen. I know a lot of people, the conviction that used to hit them years ago, they were easy touched with convicting power. They were easy to cry. Brother Jason, they were easy to kneel on their knees at their seat or come to the altar. It was easy for them to cry. But after a while of going back, I said of going back to that place that God don't want you to go to, the heart gets harder, and it takes more to reach people. It takes more to turn them around. I'm telling you, your heart can get so hard in rejecting the Lord when He tries to correct you and to draw you. Lord, I don't want a hard heart when Jesus comes to you. Raise your little hand and say, Lord, I want my heart tender. I want a good and an honest heart. I want a pure heart. I want a merry heart, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, God.
God.
A hardened heart. Out of all of these, can you say today with all sincerity, dear Lord Jesus, I know that you know, you see my heart, there's nothing hid to you. And dear God, I know that you've dealt with me before, that I need to clean up my act. You've dealt with me before, Lord, of certain things that I need to do. Dear God, help me.
Help me.
And fix my heart today. Dear Lord, I want an humble heart and a sincere heart.
Humble heart, Lord.
Dear Jesus, I want a loving and a forgiving heart. I felt the Lord right there, Brother Jason.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I want a forgiving heart.
Lord,
as you forgave me, God, of all of my sins and my transgressions and my faults and my failures, Lord, give me a forgiving heart.
Amen.
Dear Lord, I pray. Holy, holy, holy.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God. Out of all these 13 kinds of hearts, Brother George, only 4 out of the 13 God commended. The good and the honest, the merry and the pure. I want you to look now for a moment at the word merry. M-E-R-R-Y, a 5-letter word. Proverbs 15:15. the Holy Ghost inspired Solomon to write to us, all the days of the afflicted are evil. I looked it up in the original Hebrew, how the manuscript read, and this is how it reads. The Hebrew definitions. All the days of the depressed in mind by circumstances are heavy. But he that is of a merry heart,
merry heart,
hath a continual feast.
Praise God.
You can only have a happy heart and a merry heart when you're serving God and loving the Lord in His will.
Amen.
Yeah. Woo! Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Did you know that your face is a mirror and a reflection of the condition of your heart? The scripture goes on to say, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken.
Yeah.
You can tell when people are mad. You can tell when people are hurt. You can tell when people are sad. You can tell when people are discouraged. You can tell when they're troubled. It shows right here. Your countenance and in your eyes, it tells. It's a mirror. It tells on you. Oh, God. Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of a man, that's your heart, will sustain his infirmity. When your heart inside is strong, your willpower will hold you up through your times of sickness. Come on. But the scripture goes on to say, but a wounded spirit, wounded, a wounded heart, who can bear? Millions are giving up, Brother Jason.
Yeah.
Millions even giving up on God because the enemy and the devil has caused them to be wounded in their heart.
Amen.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah to God.
We are dealing with the heart and your spirit on the inside of you.
Yes.
If you really want to live and be happy, this inside, right here, your heart must be fixed.
Right. I mean fixed.
In God's eyes.
Right.
My heart, Lord. I feel you right here, Lord. I got some problems in my heart, God. Holy Lord. Troubles, Lord. Problems, Lord. I fight this old flesh, Lord. I got my mental paddles, Lord. And I need my heart fixed on the inside. Fix me, Jesus. You must be made whole. And only God and the Holy Ghost can do that. How many knows today in the house that God is a heart mender?
Yes.
He still fixes and mends the broken. Yes. He still saves and forgives. He puts lives back together. Oh, God, fix me, Jesus, up inside. Solomon, the wise man, can you tell us more? Solomon would say, yes, I'll give you another one. Proverbs 17:22. I like this one, Brother George. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. When your spirit man is joyful, and when it's glad on the inside, when your heart is made whole, It can bring healing and strength to the outer man. And it can even heal your body. Hallelujah to the Lord. When I'm healed on the inside. And when my heart has been fixed by the Spirit of the Lord. Hey Lord, it'll touch your mind. It'll touch your faculties. It'll touch your body. It'll strengthen you in your outer man. When your inner man is strong. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
But a broken spirit drieth the bones.
Drieth the bones.
A broken spirit will weaken you. Just like your bones in the natural that hold you up and keeps you going. Listen, unless you're healed on the inside. Your frame of mind and the body becomes so weak that you cannot go on.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Oh, God. Many in this world right now are depressed with life. I don't believe I'm missing it here today.
Come on.
Many are depressed with life. They feel empty, unfulfilled. They feel like there's nothing good to reach for.
Right.
They feel like their life is useless. They ain't getting anywhere. They have no peace, no hope for happiness and for things to be good and better. And they lose their will to live. This is the reason they resort to drugs. And turn to alcohol.
Yes.
And to the pleasures and entertainments of this world. It's because God is a missing on the inside of their heart. They end up in misery. And end up in a mess. Your very answer today is God and the Holy Ghost. And you say, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost more than anything to fill my heart on the inside and make it whole. Raise your hand in the house. Mend me, Jesus, and restore me and fill me, Lord, with the Spirit of God. Put your joy back on the inside of me and make me whole. Put that missing part back in my heart, God, and fix me.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You'll be the God.
A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit, who can bear? Who can bear? Listen, you are only as strong as what you are in your heart.
That's right.
The least thing gets some people down, the least thing. What God is saying today is pray. Take time to pray and let God fix your heart. Let Him feel it. Let Him heal it. You got to make God number one in your life. God, it's not my will anymore. The only way that I could really have joy and fulfillment in my life is to have your will done in my life, God.
Amen.
Not my will anymore. I'm laying it all on the altar. And I've been giving you my whole life. My present, my future, my heart, my soul, my mind, and my body. I'm giving it to you.
Yes.
When things go wrong, and when things turn out bad, and when things break in my life and fall apart, fix me, Jesus.
Yes.
Fix me. You know, the Lord's got a way of breaking us. It ain't the enemy all the time that breaks us, Brother Jason.
Right.
It's not always. God's got a way to break us, to remake us.
Yes.
He's got a way in emptiness.
Come on now.
You know, you don't think about the water fountain back there.
I mean, if you've drunk water today before you've come in here, you don't think about that water fountain. But if you get really, really get dry, you go out here and you walk in about 95 degree heat, and you walk several blocks and everything, and you had a key to that church right there, you know what you do? You come and unlock those doors and hit to that water fountain and get that cold drink of water. Sometimes God will take a rug out from under you, and He'll let you go through dry places to get you to crave Him again.
Right.
And desire Him again.
Right.
Come on.
Right. Amen.
There's every one of us has known those places in our life that we were closer to God at one time than we are now.
Right. Come on.
And God's got a way of emptying us out before He could ever feel us. He can't feel a carnal person.
Right.
He can't feel a hard heart, a despiteful heart, a selfish heart, a self-willed heart that always wants its way. That heart has to be broken. It has to be empty to where we say, God, not my will anymore, but I want yours done. Raise your hand and praise Him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
God, give us a right heart.
Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
God, bring me back. Renew me, God.
God, renew my heart.
Restore me, God. Fix me up inside, Jesus. If I've slipped at least a little bit and went away from you, draw me back and fix me, God, up inside. Holy Lord, holy Lord. Tell us again, Psalmist David, I will. My heart is fixed, O God.
It's fixed, O God.
My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. You will never fully sing, will we, Brother George? Never fully sing a happy song until our heart has been fixed.
Yes.
God wants you happy. He wants you joyful.
Right.
He is your life.
Amen.
He is your hope of heaven. He is your reason to live and go on. He's your reason to keep singing and keep on serving. It sure beats the alternative to give up. That's what the devil like to talk to some of us and tell us that, hey, you just as well as to give up, just as well as to quit, just as well as to surrender, throw in the towel. Hey, I'm not doing it. Woo! God's got better things than that for me. Hey, Lord. He tries to discourage us. He tries to use our faults and our failures against us. He brings trials. Hey, Lord, it's not worth the alternative of turning away from God.
That's right, brother. Amen. That's right.
Brother Jason, to succumb to our problems and our hurts, to succumb to them and all of our letdowns is not an option.
Not.
To turn to this world for help or pleasure is not your answer.
Mm-hmm.
You need a specialist. You need the one who made you. The one that knows you and cares.
Praise God.
You ready for this, Brother Kevin? You ever worked on a car? I want you to think about a car, for example. You know when your car is hard to start and when it's not running right, don't you? In the natural. You know when the battery is low and there's hardly any power to turn the engine over to start it. Yes, you do. You know when your car spits and sputters, and you know when it goes to missing and losing power. You know, if you don't get it to the garage and to the specialist, the mechanic, it will die. And somewhere it'll leave you stranded. You will never make it to your destinations if you don't get your vehicle serviced soon and fixed. So you pull it up and they tell you to pull it into the stall.
that expert lifts the hood to expose the engine that runs your car. He then hooks the wires from the diagnostic reader to your car's computer. That machine brain reads every sensor in your motor, and it tells the technician exactly where your problem is in that motor. Why it's sputtering, why it's missing, hesitating, and dying. Why it's not running right. And he will tell you that it's ready to die on you. So the mechanic turns to you and he says, I found your problem. This is what it's going to cost you for me to fix it and to make it new again. He will look at you and say, do you want me to fix it? Do you want me to fix the motor? The motor is the brain of your car. You'll never go anywhere without a motor in it. He turns to you. This is what it will cost you. Do you want me to work on your car and fix it and make it run good? Spiritually speaking, we are just like that car. You know when you're not running right. We all know when we're not doing right.
Amen.
Yes.
You hit and you skip. You make God number one today. Tomorrow it's the world. And the day after.
Come on.
You start getting serious on a Sunday to come to church and do your part and feel your part. But what about the rest of the week? You hit and you skip. You think and do right 1 minute, one day, and you lose that momentum the next. There's something wrong. Something is wrong. You know that something has to change in your life.
Yeah.
It has to change on the road of life that you're on. Or you'll end up dying and on the side of the road like many others, and you'll lose out. God, fix me.
Yeah.
Fix me, Lord. Jesus, when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I'm going to end this up. When he prayed three times. He did not want to go to the cross. He did not want to suffer the agony and the torture of the cross.
Right.
Jesus prayed to the Father three times. He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He went back the second time about a stone's cast, fell on his knees, prayed the same prayer again. He came to the disciples. They were asleep. He said, sleep on. He went back the third time and prayed. Shuffy so hard that he sweat became as great drops of blood falling to the ground.
Yes.
You know where he prayed at? In the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane in the Greek means the olive press. It means where the olives were put, picked off of the trees, put in a big vat. And they treaded them and rolled a big stone over them to press the olive oil out of their skins. Great drops of blood fell to the ground. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. How many wants to give God your whole heart today?
Amen.
Lord, it's not what I want. I might want things, God, it ain't your will. Maybe never will be your will. Maybe later on. Did you know God will give you one of three answers? He'll either say yes, no, or wait. Raise your hand and praise him.
Oh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want something. Come on. I want God to answer my prayer to keep me close to him, Brother Jason.
Yes.
Woo. Keep me in his will. That's the safest place you could ever be. When he answers that prayer, you'll know, you'll say, Lord, I know I'm in your will. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, one more thing. I'll let you go. The heart God put in your chest beats 100,000 times in a 24-hour period. Your heart is a muscle the size of a man's hand. take a tennis ball and give it a hard squeeze, you're using about the same amount of pressure that your heart uses to pump the blood throughout your body. What if that heart becomes defective? What happens when the arteries become clogged and the life-giving blood can't get through to feed all of your internal organs and your brain? The heart gives out, it stops, and your life ceases, and you are gone. Your physical heart will let you know when something is wrong, when things ain't right, chest pains, shortness of breath, a loss of strength. You just can't go on like you did. You're too weak and you're hurting. But what about your spiritual heart? Could it be that God is speaking to you about your spiritual life today and the condition of your spiritual heart? That it's not a pumping right and working like it once did. Can we be like David and say, oh, God fixed my heart. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Fix me. My heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and I will give praise. Praise God.